gentlemen, this is a special Such Good Shoot interview extravaganza! So join Isaac, Dozer, and Shane in lighting up a cold one and cracking open a joint here on Such Good Shoot!
Ladies and girls, welcome to the Such Good Shoot podcast. Today, July 29th, 2021, I'm going to be live from the Peaky Peaky Studios. You know, right up there, we got my main man, Shane.
What's up?
Over there, we got the god baby, Isaac. But right there, we have the real godfather joining us special today.
What's up?
Oh man, it is so good to have you back. And I'm gonna do this right away. I'm gonna light up a fatty for this pimp daddy right here.
You're gonna light up a fatty? Is everybody smoking?
I am for sure.
I am different the, things.
Yeah, I am. Shane is not is gonna plead the fifth right now. And I'm gonna smoke one. I got some a pot of gold. It's an indica, and fuck, dude, it is so stank. And I'm sure you've got something fire because you fucking have your own fucking strain now. When we were talking, you were about to launch it, and now you've got your own strain with fucking Be Real.
Come on, look at that bag.
Yo, that's sexy. That is so fucking cool, man.
Insane Godfather. Can you believe that? I've got my own strain. It's the fire, bro. It's the fire.
When you see it on the shelf, you gotta buy that shit. I mean,
the only bad thing, you can only get it in California.
Yeah, they're working on that. We're working on that. It sounds like we might actually finally get a federal bill, man, that fucking legalizes across the country. And
where are you guys?
I'm in Vermont, so we have legal weed and recreational sales start next year, but yeah, you've been legal for 2 years now, I think.
Yeah, I'm out.
Virginia.
Go ahead, Dozer.
Virginia, we're going on 29 days of having it legal.
It's legal, but you guys don't have any dispensaries yet, right?
We ain't got nothing yet.
So what do you do?
I personally don't do anything. This is a normal cigar.
Well, for those of us that do, where are you supposed to purchase it or get it, or what? Are you supposed to grow it yourself, or
you can grow up to 4 plants yourself? And I'm in Northern Virginia, so DC isn't that far, and there's plenty of places there you could get whatever you want.
What does that mean? Whatever you want. With me, that could mean a lot of shit. Whatever you want.
Well, it is close to DC, so that probably does mean basically whatever you want.
I mean, you get pussy.
They got politicians there, man.
They got politicians. You get anything.
Yeah, the pussy you got to go to West Virginia for.
But they don't date outside the family. Come on now.
Oh, come on. I think it's West Virginia is the number one state for strip clubs in the country, which blows my mind.
Really? West Virginia?
Nevada?
I always thought Texas, especially Houston, had the most.
Yeah, that's crazy.
West Virginia has like no laws about it, though. So it's full nude, full bar, full contact. Really?
Damn. All right.
Wow.
All right, okay. Now that's all making sense. Do you miss that business at all?
Wrestling or titties?
Titty business.
No, not at all.
No.
I just before we started talking, a guy from one of the clubs called the Spearmint Rhinos just called me. Like, hey, you want to come down here a couple nights a week? I'm like, hell no. No, I'm done, man. I'm done. I had a part of a club called Cheetahs out here. And just before COVID hit, like a year before that, so what, like almost 3 years, it's been sold. So I'm done, man.
You got out of the business right at the right time, man.
Got out. I wish we would have got out like 10 years ago when the clubs were worth more, but I got out at a good time, and it financially was okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I'm sure it's better than trying to deal with it when COVID was going down and fucking you have no one in town.
Oh, bro, it killed Vegas. And a lot of these smaller clubs, they still haven't survived it. And the bigger clubs that used to be, like, I think there's, last I checked, there was 28 strip clubs here, or adult-oriented clubs. And 15 of them were open 24 hours a day. I know none of them are open 24 hours a day. And the biggest ones now are open at 9 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning. And I think on Friday night and Saturday, they stay open till 8 in the morning. But that's it. You know, I go to them, so, and I ain't got no intentions on going to them.
Yeah.
Brother, I put my time in. I put more than my time in that business.
Yeah, decades. I mean, you know, basically your whole wrestling career once you, like, really got off the ground and then, like you were saying, up until, what, 3 years ago? So that's a long
time. Yeah, man. That's the thing that people don't realize. That's one reason why you see me come and go so much is wrestling for me was always my second job, not my first. I always had the strip clubs, and the whole time that I was wrestling, I still had money coming in from the strip clubs. So for me, wrestling was a way to have fun. And it was a way to be around crazy people, that crazy dudes just as crazy as I was. And it was more for fun. When I wasn't having fun, I would leave. It wasn't about the money. But when I wasn't having fun and not making money, I would leave quicker. And I'm serious. I would go to Vince and say, Vince, because Vince knew my story. You know, I'm like, Vince, I got to go, man. This ain't happening no more. And then I would leave, and then they'd call me back and say, you want to come back? And I'd be like, no. And they said, well, we want to do this. So I say, no. And then they'd come up with something, and then they'd get Taker to call me or something. He's like, come on back, man. We miss you. And I'm like, man, I don't want to come. I swear that's how it was. And then I'd come back, and then if I wasn't having fun, I'd leave. And that's really why you'd see me come and go.
But it kept you fresh, and it made people excited every time you came back because, you know, you're not grinding every day. And I think it's like the one thing that, like, scares Vince more than anything, and I don't want to, like, put anything into his head, but, like, the idea that, like, his wrestlers have an opportunity outside of what he has to offer that is, you know, that makes it so they don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, if I want to go, I'm not happy. Like, because that was your thing. It's like, when you weren't happy, you're out. You're like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go do something that, like, I enjoy. And, like,
he was, but see, Vince was always, and he still is cool with me. He was cool because I went on contracts and I was walking out on contracts, but he knew that I wasn't going to go wrestle for somebody else. And so he wasn't really worried about it. But, you know, Vince has always been super cool with me. And to this day, he's still super cool with me. And so I'm still under a legend. There's not many people left on the Legends contract. And I've been on one since 2003. And they just came out with a new Kama action figure. Dude, they really hooked me up. So, I mean, I've got nothing but good things to say about Vince and that whole family because they've been super cool with me.
We were just talking to Hornswoggle last week, and he has a Twitch stream going where he plays video games, and he bet his son that if his son beat him in Madden, that he would have to buy him, like, the new, like, limited fucking Kama Mattel fucking...
Yeah.
And the last time he played, he fucking got his Hornswoggle got his ass with, what, 60-3.
63.
Wow, see?
63.
He's running that action figure.
So that kid's probably going to end up with that figure. But yeah, that's funny, man. That's
but yeah, they've always been cool with me, and I don't even know why. But believe me, they put up a lot of shit for me.
Yeah, but
a lot of shit.
You're also like, man, you're a draw. And, you know, like, that's the thing, is like, even with, you know, like, the fucking, like, the funniest thing is, like, the craziest, like, far out, like, the Attitude Era stuff is the stuff that really, like, pushed you over the top, obviously, with The Godfather, which is, like, the most you of all of the stuff you did.
And,
like, but it was so much fun. And, like, was the Attitude Era, like, because, I mean, you know, doing Shango, being like, you know, being told you're going to come back as Papa Shango, but with the dark edge, with that Jerry Lawler mask, And then them like Vince, oh, we changed the plans, pal. And then, you know, you're in the nation. But like, was actually the Attitude Era and like getting to just go out and do, was that liberating for you? Was that like one of the first times you really just got to,
you
do
know
what?
And we took it. What? Yes. The wrestling. Yes. And Godfather was not scripted. He was never, ever scripted. Maybe to a point where you have to hit a town or a certain date. Never scripted. Never asked what I was going to say. I had free reign to say and do whatever it is I wanted to do, bro. And it was just crazy. That was the funnest. Besides the time we were struggling back in Memphis, like me and Taker, you know, back in the days, and we were living off of the road. Those were good times too. But I mean, in wrestling, in my professional, being on the show, that was the best time, bro, to be part of the Attitude Era. And we took it, you know, for granted, because we were acting like, I was, the way that I act then is the way that I act now. And that's the way that I act all the time. So it was just me being me. And it was just crazy, man. It was just, it was just me being me. Nothing scripted, just me going out there being me.
Yeah, it was great. It was great content. It was amazing stuff. And you mentioned, you know, being loyal to Vince and never leaving WWF. And you almost did. And it was Ron Simmons who was like, hey, man, you don't want to go there. And you always said that you credited Ron for, you know, always being someone you could trust and talk to and, you know, like basically, you know, be like, hey, you know, like, is this a good idea or not? And he was like, you don't want to go down there. Are you glad you never went down there?
I'm very glad. Very glad. You know, we got to do more with the Godfather, and yeah, that wasn't the place for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't. That was probably the best advice Ron ever gave me, was not to go down there. A few people told me not to go down there, but I really listened to Ron.
What was drinking with Ron like?
You know, I drink, but I do more smoking than drinking. And, you know, Ron and John were drinkers, and those guys don't smoke, and I was a smoker. So I did more smoking than drinking with them. I did my drinking with BSK and Undertaker and Yoko, and back in those days is what I did all my drinking, because I didn't start smoking till I was 27, 28 years old. I was going through a divorce as Papa Shango, and that was the first time I ever smoked cannabis in my life,
And you were saying it was like a friend of Hogan's when he was doing like Urban Commando or something?
It was called Suburban Commando.
Yeah.
And Big Worm, God rest his soul, he was Hogan's driver. And he was a biker. And at that time, I was a biker. So Taker introduced us, and we became really good friends. And he died. He died about 6-7 months ago. But good dude, really good dude. But yeah, Big Worm.
That's well, I'm glad he did get you high the first time, because it's born an iconic character. Speaking of drinking, though, I was watching your interview with Stone Cold on the Stone Cold podcast, which looked like a fucking blast. I was bummed that you didn't get to smoke on there, but I figured that would have been a big no-no.
I'm surprised we even talked about smoking, you know, but we did.
Yeah, you got to bust out your, and I was like, damn, awesome. They fucking kept that shit in. But you guys, man, you guys put away at least a half bottle of Jack.
Bottle my ass. We drank that bottle of Jack.
You finished that one.
Finished. Him and Taker, they did two shows. The first show, they drank a half a bottle. Then they finished it the second one. That bottle was empty when I left.
You can't fucking do any less. Well, I mean,
I tell people.
Did Taker gargle his shot?
I don't know. I'm sure he did.
Okay,
because you know, Taker could drink. Taker could drink Jack now.
Oh, I'm sure. There's no doubt in my mind.
He could drink his Jack.
The real question, though, comes in: who could put more back, Taker or Yoko?
Jack?
Of anything.
Oh,
who could just throw more back?
They can both drink, bro. They could both. I mean, that's a toss up. They could both go. Yoke used to drink a lot of Jack. We all drink a lot of Jack.
Damn.
So, I mean, Yoko, they can both go.
A big man, too. So, if Taker can keep up with a guy that size.
We drank a lot of Jack back in the day.
No doubt, man. Yeah, the when you first were talking with him about, you know, if you walk by Kurt heading at the bar and he's like, we're doing a shot, you're like, fuck, because you're gargling fucking whiskey.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, that's badass. And then you finished the podcast by both of you gargling your shot last shot there on air. And I was like, no, there you go, man. That's the tribute, right?
Dude, that it was real fun. Because when I got there, I was looking over his he's got a lot of acreage, and we were looking on the back side of it. He had like 40 acres or so, and he had cows and horses and bulls and all this type of stuff. Man, I'm like, is all this yours? And he says, all the land's mine, but these aren't my animals that he rents it out to people to graze and feed. And so I'm like, well, you know what, dude, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, you know me, so. Are we going to be able to talk about smoking and cannabis? He goes, oh, hell yeah. I'm like, can I smoke on the show? He says, yeah, we can't get away with that. And so I'm like, okay. He goes, we talk about it. And that was, he tried to get me on the show a long time ago, but they thought I was a little bit too controversial. So apparently they brought me in. So. Well, I don't know what's controversial about me. Come on, really?
Yeah, honestly, though, I mean, of all the fucking gimmicks they've done, all the people they've had in that company, you are one of the least controversial.
I am what I am.
Yeah, man, which is a great guy. Are you gonna gargle a shot?
I think Dozer's gonna do it.
I wasn't gonna gargle shit. I was gonna say
shit. I'll join you. I got to go out of the picture for a second, but hang on. I just happened to.
Oh shit! All right. Here you go.
Oh, the thing is, I don't have any glasses up here, so I'm gonna have to use plastic. So don't hold that against me.
I ain't gonna hold shit.
All right, boy. If Taker, here we go. Here. I got a big bottle.
Oh.
If Taker was here now and he seen me drink out of plastic, we'd have to fight. But
well, don't worry.
All I have is, unless I yell for somebody to bring me some glass. So we're going to guard. Who's all doing a shot?
Those who's doing the shot, I'm hitting the blunt. I'm going to drink the rest of what's in this glass here.
I just happen to have a big one. I don't drink, but I got a gallon of Jack here and shit. But I don't drink. I was talking anyway.
I don't drink either. I drink once a week.
I don't drink. I guzzle.
Well, this is to all of our lost friends, all the wrestlers that we've lost. Big Worm and Big Worm and
Dusty Hill.
Yeah, all of them, baby. We're gargling.
Yoko.
Minty fresh.
Yeah, that'll clear.
Wow, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. So getting back onto cannabis, because well, that's my favorite Live Nation. So then I've heard a lot of rumors about guys like, and not rumors that they smoke, because we all know that Rob Van Dam and Matt Riddle and Randall Keith Orton smoke, but I've heard rumors that they literally did just pay off ahead of time the fines that they would get for failed fucking piss tests, and then they just smoke weed. Does that seem like why, if you're going to even have that policy, like if you can have that workaround, like what's the point of having the policy, right? Like,
I would say for his insurance purposes, probably because he's a public and stuff, and he has to answer to people. And I would say insurance wise and everything, that even though they still have to test, I don't know. I'm guessing they tested when I was there.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm guessing it's pure just optics.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, and I wonder, and I mean, that's my, I guess the question I'm getting at is do you think that there comes a point in where the tipping point hits and the optics are worse
for doing those tests and fucking punishing people for something like this. You know,
I will tell you this. The second that cannabis becomes legal federally, Vince will stop all that. Vince is cool, man. If Vince could, he would let people, he would probably prefer that everybody smoked and take pills and all the other stupid shit out there. But I would say legally wise, it's stopping him because it's still federally not accepted. So Vince is on it though, man. I'm telling you, he don't want to test marijuana's. You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask the guys, are they actually testing for it or are they testing for other stuff? You know, I don't know. And plus, everybody's different. I mean, I was a lot different. I had different, you know, when they talk about me, and people ask me about my drug test, I always say, I just keep that between me and the WWE.
Yeah, I know better.
But people were fine. People were fine, but when I was there, there was more drinkers and pill takers. There weren't a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of people that smoked. There was only a handful of us that smoked, and a lot of them were agents and people in the office. It wasn't wrestlers.
Yeah.
Very few of the wrestlers smoked, and none of them smoked like me.
It's too bad because I really do feel like it could have really saved a lot of careers that went down.
Not only careers, man, lives. Bro, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Not that I look that great, but I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. And if you look at some of the other guys that are 60 years old, I mean, they just look like shit, but they're still taking pills and they're still drinking and they're eating fucking like shitty food and they're hanging out in bars. And I don't do any of that anymore. And I really think that cannabis at 27 years old, when I tried it, saved my life. And I think it preserved me, you know? I mean, I was like, today people are like, I don't believe you're really 60 years old. I'm like, yeah, I'm 60, man. Yeah. I act like I'm 20, but I'm 60.
It's like Ron Killings. I swear to God, hasn't aged a day either.
How old is he?
R-Truth is what? He's like 50-something now?
He's not. Really.
No, he's got to be 40-something.
He's in his 40s.
I think he's in his late 40s. But, I mean, he looks exactly the same as Kay Quick.
49.
Yeah, 49.
Kay Quick.
Yeah, like, man.
That's great, and he's still out there doing it.
Yeah, man, I love that shit.
I don't know if it's black don't crack or I don't believe in that. I just, because I know a lot of black people that are 60 years old that look 80. So I think it's genetics. But I mean, my brother's 3 years younger than me and he drinks vodka and beer every day. He doesn't smoke and he looks 10 years older. So
I mean, there's certain things.
Taker's last birthday, I called him and wished him happy birthday. And I put on like a baseball hat and I tried to make myself look as young as I could, right? Baseball hat backwards and you know, that type of shit. And then he's like, I hate you, motherfucker. He goes, you're 3 years older than me, but I look 10 years older than you. And I'm like, cannabis.
It's so true.
He's never smoked. He'd never even try it.
Man, do you think that if he had gone down that route, he would have been able to just like physically like be in a much better place than he is?
Oh, I don't know, bro. It's not for everybody. If he's not, I never forced it on him and he didn't want to do it. So I never pressured him to do it. So he must have had a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's Texas. He must have had a reason.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably still fucking scared of his parents finding out or something.
They'll
have no fury sometimes, like fucking pissed off parents.
I don't think it was his thing. It wasn't his thing. When I tried it, it was definitely my thing.
Same here.
I mean, he probably, you know, gets too high, might freak himself out with his own entrance, man. You know what I mean?
He might put those eyes up and they don't come back down.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like bad news.
How long have they been up there? Have you ever gotten like to that point and been like, fuck, I have to go out now and perform? Where you're like, maybe I shouldn't have. Well, I mean, I guess let's just get right into it, because you did talk about one time
where you might have been hanging out with Snoop Dogg before the Hall of Fame. And you
Man, don't even talk loud. If my wife hears this, just stir it all up again.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna put this into the universe right now. And I said this after our interview.
You're gonna make me take a dab.
No, I'm not gonna make you do anything. If you want to take a dab, fucking by all means, dude. I'll grab my rig and we can take a dab. But oh fuck, man. But here's the thing. You made a mistake. I'm not gonna get into all the details. You made a mistake during your Hall of Fame speech. You forgot to mention a certain very critical key figure in your career. I am going to put this out. Right. I think you honestly, 100%. You're going to get the call. You're going to get the call again. You're going to be two time. You're going to get the opportunity to go back because the Nation of Domination has to go into the Hall of Fame. It has to. Look at who's in the Nation of Domination. Look at that.
I agree. I think it will go in, but I think they have to figure out what they're going to do with The Rock. How are you going to induct the Nation without The Rock?
You have to get him in. You have to induct him.
No, you have to put The Rock in first. Like, that's
you would have to put The Rock in first, and then the Nation.
But of course, he's going to go in. I'm not saying it's happening next year. I'm just saying you're going to get the opportunity. And honestly, and this is just me, I think Papa Shango deserves a ring too.
Well, thing is when they inducted me, they inducted all the characters. They inducted Papa Shango, Pama, Kami Mustafa, and even the Good Father. Then they were all under, which is cool, bro. But I'll get in there again with the Nation. D'Lo should be. I think D'Lo should be in there too. D'Lo is the most underrated worker in the business, man. Because of that, D'Lo could work. I mean, really work.
No, like back then, D'Lo was. In my in the Attitude Era, top four, top five.
Oh yeah,
he was so fucking over. He was so good. God, the whole chest plate gimmick, all of it, incredible.
I just seen him on this. I was at a signing in Pennsylvania this past weekend, and he was there. And he looks because he was getting a little heavy, and then he's really trimmed down. He looks good. Nice. I mean, last I seen him, he was like 340, 330, and he looks like maybe 260 right now. So he looks really good. Good for him.
Oh, damn.
Awesome, man. Yeah, you see a lot of that these days. I mean, guys like DDP who, has gone out of his way to help people. We talked to Mark Marrow, another guy. I think he just turned 60. Looks incredible for his age, you're just like, damn, it's really cool to see a lot of these guys because you're so used to the stories, you hear about, everything went wrong. They love talking about shit that goes wrong and there's the sensational shit. But like the guys who are really doing well, it's so good to see because, with guys like Jake and with Scott, regardless of their past, you don't want to see the people you watched as a kid. You look up.
No, hell no.
Go down that path, regardless of whether they were assholes, whatever. The reality is it's good to see those stories coming out and being focused on it.
Dude, I wish everybody. I love seeing these guys, and I seen so many guys this weekend. It's just sad to see some of them though that just. It's sad, man. Thank God I've always had something else going on. It sounds weird, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the business, but wrestling was always my second job, not my first.
Yeah.
And I went about it different.
You were a roller derby fan, man. And
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, which is awesome, But it also, I think, you mentioned it, and I'm going to go get my rig in a second, because I do want to take it.
This little dab by Luca, they're really cool.
That's a nice little thing. It reminds
me. Hell yeah, it's warming up right now.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, that's fancy.
And it's water. Huh?
That's fancy.
Have you ever seen one of these? A Papa Shango bog?
Oh no, you've done it now.
I want one, yeah. Yeah, I've got my Papa Shango autograph. I need a Papa Shango bomb. I'm gonna go grab my dab ring.
Oh, I dab most of the time. Look at that smiling stuff.
That's what I do. I sit here and I smile and I look pretty. That's all I do.
Looking pretty, you're kind of you're pressing it there, bro.
Well, yeah.
You're not a bad looking guy, but pretty.
Have a couple more of those shots. We'll see what he says.
You get through most of a bottle of Jack. Like, you know what? I'm sorry. Yeah. All right.
Well, this is the highlight of Isaac's life.
No, you know what though is I get to do a meet and greet. And I did rip a dab, but I don't think Godfather was ripping dab. So this is a very high point. Right up there with cooking with Public Enemy and meeting Flavor Flav and Chuck D. So.
Well,
I start smoking when I get up every morning. I get in the jacuzzi every morning, and I usually roll up. I don't smoke a lot of joints, but I'll roll up a nice joint and get in the jacuzzi just about every morning, and that's how I start my day. Usually by now, this time of night, I stop smoking. You know, about 7 o'clock at night, I quit smoking and everything. I go to bed early, really early.
I have to do that these days. I cook breakfast at a school, and it's about an hour drive to get there. And I usually try and get there by like 4:30 in the morning. So I usually am doing my first dabs pretty early.
I have a long commute downstairs.
So. By 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the jacuzzi smoking.
That's a good place to be. And you have a CBD line now, right?
No, not yet.
Now you're working.
It's the same company that RVD has. Oh, it's partnering, but we just haven't got the artwork and a lot of the legal stuff done yet. But we're working on it.
Do you smoke CBD much, or are you pretty much mostly?
I was just smoking some of that earlier. You know, I smoke a lot of CBD. Here's some pre-rolls right here that I was smoking. You know, earlier. Nice. If they work or not, I don't know. But I just noticed that my battery's low on my phone. That's not good.
Uh-oh.
Nope.
We're gonna have to do something to rectify that.
Yeah, man. I'm sure we have technology.
Oh. Well, I don't know if I might have to give me a second. Let's keep talking. I might have to grab an extension cord. I didn't know my phone was low.
We'll keep talking, and we'll. I'm gonna call on DDJ here, and maybe we can get him in here, and we can try a little trivia action.
Let's do it. That's only take me a second. I've got everything right here.
Yeah, and it's gonna take a second to get DDJ on the line.
Yeah, because he's probably.
Fine. Well, shit, we got time for another shot. We got time for another shot.
All right. Well, I'm gonna fill my glass up here with my my little concoction. I'm gonna pound that down and light up a blunt.
There you go.
What else are you gonna do?
While we pour and all that, just Jovan, go to California. You can get some Godfather stuff.
Yeah, Jovan. We literally have talked about this, but
that was the beginning of the episode.
And I want to hit on this again because Godfather does have his own fucking strain with Be Real from Cypress Hill, the Be Real gardens and growers, man. So fucking if you're in California, that's where you have to get it. But soon enough, we're going to get it across the country because fucking A.
Right now, it's called Be Real has his own strain called Insane. Insane OG, Insane, and mine is Insane Godfather. I did a collaboration with him. But Insane is only sold in Dr. Green Thumb dispensaries in California. There's 8 of them. Within the next couple of years, they're hoping to have about 50 throughout the country. They're working on that now. So right now, you don't really find this strain in those places in California.
Hell yeah.
But it's fire, man. Believe me, it's fire.
Oh, dude, that's so cool. That is like literally the dream of every fucking stoner. So,
I'm probably more proud about that than what for an accomplishment than anything to have my own strain. It's just
hell yeah. And you got to do that.
It solidifies that, you know what I mean? Like more than you were before. Like,
yeah, this isn't no underground strain. I mean, this is a legal strain that we sell in the dispensaries.
And you've known him for fucking ever. You've known Be Real for decades,
And we are hosts. Yes, we are.
Yeah, and I saw you got to do his thing, which was the smoke box. How much fun was that? Where you just got to sit and fucking rip two fucking fat, like, basically Canagar.
People don't know, that's harder said than, it's easier said than done. The smoke, and the, all the windows are up, and you're clam baking in there for 45 minutes.
Dying. I mean,
your eyes, like, start burning, your nose is watered, and you're trying
and the
to
biggest
like,
thing is,
you're,
oh, go ahead.
Cool. You're trying to look cool for
yeah,
the camera.
And you're trying not to cough. You're like, and you try, it's going, you try not to cough. But that was, we did that a few years ago. I do his podcast once a week, and I try to get there once a week and do his podcast.
That's awesome. That's so cool, man. That's such a cool friendship to have. I remember seeing Cypress Hill, fuck, 2009 maybe, and just like, what an incredible concert. What an incredible group. So. But
yeah, boys, you see it's storming here. Wow, I'm looking out my window. It's just like lightning and everything. It's crazy.
That is crazy, man.
I've known him. I think I met him in about 88. 88, 89, I met him. We were hanging out in L.A. together. Damn. And when I met him, I didn't even smoke.
That's so crazy. I'm sure he's still
there. I didn't start smoking until probably 92.
Was he stoked when you started smoking? Was he like this?
He never pressured me to smoke. We played dominoes, a lot of dominoes together. He was a wrestling fan, and we'd go to the Rainbow in California in Hollywood, and that's why we'd always, it was a hangout where you could smoke. But we'd play dominoes. I was drinking Jack Daniels. I didn't start smoking until later. See, you know. People like that, they don't try to get you smoke. You either smoke or you don't. If you don't, it's cool. You know, I'm not going to, I've never tried to force anybody to smoke. I just tell people what it does for me. And for me, it works really well.
Hell yeah. Oh, I totally agree. You know, and that's the thing is, like, if you actually care about somebody and they don't want to do something, you're not going to push it on them. You're going to respect that.
No.
I have a friend who stopped drinking. And, you know, like, we did a wedding and he was like, man, I really want to drink. I'm like, not happening, but you don't want to be that guy. You don't want, you know, like as a friend, you don't want to be that guy. But speaking of friends, I heard in my ear, Dozer, am I wrong? Did we get DDJ in?
DDJ is down below.
All right.
But we're going to do this little shot here. We're going to give DDJ a slight advantage.
All right. We're going to take a quick drinky poo here.
Yep.
All right.
Cilantro.
Everybody's health. Salute. We gargle? You guys gargle it or no?
God damn. Beautiful.
Okay, that was a little easier.
Yeah. Number two is always
cheap. Well, that's ladies issue, and gentlemen, right? DDJ.
Hello, Dennis.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Dennis.
DDJ, what's happening, brother?
Not too much, sir. How are you doing?
High and hungry, and doing well.
That's a good combo right there.
That is a really good place to be. So I guess to just get us started to break the ice a little, DDJ, do you have a question you want to ask the Godfather?
Yeah, sure. Well, first off, again, thank you for putting on this great show. You know, I really enjoy listening to you guys talk and that. But recently I've been watching Monday Night Raws from 1998 post-WrestleMania, and I just got to the point where The Rock took over the Nation. And I wanted to ask you, did you enjoy being in the Nation that was led by Farouk more, or the Nation that was led by The Rock more?
Boy, I've never been asked that question. That's not fair because I wrote with Farouk. And so I liked work. That's a great question, bro. I enjoyed working with both of them. Mm-hmm. I had more fun. I had more of a relationship with Ron, though. Besides working, we hung out at night, and like Rock and D'Lo and Mark Henry, they didn't do what we did. So I probably had a little bit better time with Ron, but got much more success and notoriety with The Rock. But I mean, really, I mean, that's, I mean, I was, I was getting lost in that whole thing, man. And that's where we came up with The Godfather, because that was one time where I was having so much fun that I didn't want to leave wrestling, and my contract was coming up and they weren't doing nothing with me. And that's when me and my wife, mostly my wife, developed The Godfather.
Yeah. And you had that promo where, you know, that, that backstage promo where The Rock was like, this is comma The Godfather. And this is it. Make well, sure you get me. And that was sort of like off.
These hats that I wear, these hats that I wear, they're called Godfather hats. They're actually called Godfather hats. And inside of most of them, they say Godfather. And oh, wow. So I don't know how we came up with it. I think my wife came up with it, you know, with The Godfather. And I just told Rock, because all I used to say was, power to the nation, or we are the nation, or whatever I would say. And I'm like, when you say my name, call me Godfather. And then when he called me Godfather, everybody started calling me Godfather from that moment on. And I wasn't even The Godfather yet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it blew up from there, and you got to, like, really... I mean, you were still in the nation when you started that.
Yeah.
It was really...
But see, they weren't doing nothing with me and D'Lo. All we were doing... Rock was wrestling main events, and so we were there at the end to take the stunner or something so he didn't have to take it, you know? And so, you know, he would go over on whoever it was, and then we'd have to take their finish somehow in the deal. But they weren't, I mean, me and D'Lo, I went like 6-7 months, man, without working at all. Just, we were just there building the Rock as part of the nation.
That was the whole point. I mean, Vince even said, right? It was like, we're going to get everyone booing him, and then we're going to turn him face, and he's going
to
be.
Vince told me and Ron Simmons that once I get people to hate this kid, when I turn him, he's going to be the biggest thing wrestling's ever seen. And that's what Vince told me and Ron.
Well.
Wow. But, you know, The Rock's cool, bro. I mean, he was, you know, he came to me one day and told me, we used to ride together at the very beginning. Me, Ron, Rocky, D'Lo would ride together. Mark came in later, Mark Henry. But we would ride to the buildings together and everything. We'd leave the buildings together. And then one day Rocky came to me and said, hey, bro. He goes, hey, Papa. A lot of people call me Papa. He's like, hey, Papa, I can't ride with you no more. And I'm like, well, you can't ride with me no fucking more. He goes, bro, everywhere I go, I smell like weed. He goes, and I tell people I don't smell like weed. And he goes, and then the next time they see me, they go, bro, every time I see you, you say you don't smell like weed, but you smell like weed. Because as soon as I got in the car, bro, as soon as I got in the fucking car, I'm firing up on the way to the building, you know. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to stop smoking. So that's when I start riding Ron and John and the Acolytes. And then him, D'Lo, and Mark Henry started riding together.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
I dig it.
All right. Well, I'm going to just say I got about 5 questions here. I'm going to let DDJ answer first, because I have a feeling that you might have a better advantage here. So,
I lose a lot of these.
Well,
I lose a lot of these because I don't remember the shit that I've done.
All right.
Well, you know how fucking high I was and drinking Jack Daniels and smoking? I see matches now and I'm like, oh, I don't remember that. I never remember wrestling him.
I tried to keep it in fairly reasonable territory. So
I got a chance. You probably know more about me than I do.
What number did Papa Shango enter in the 1993 Royal Rumble?
3. Well, see, I've already fucking lost. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to. How do I know? I'm going to say 13.
Now, DDJ got it with number 3.
God, how the hell am I going to know that? I couldn't even tell you who. I couldn't tell you 5 people that were in that Rumble.
All right. Moving along to Bad Blood,
1990. Wait. I'm already down. I'm like 0-1. All right. I'm going to get serious. Here we go.
Oh, don't call it a comeback, man. 1997, Bad Blood. You were in a tag team in the nation. Who did you fight? What other tag team did you fight in 1997 in Bad Blood?
Okay, I'm going to be 0-2 here. I'm guessing it. I'm saying me and D'Lo against Bosh and Trasher.
And what did you say, DDJ?
DOA, Disciples of Apocalypse.
See? All right. Yeah, I'm always... Why don't you guys give me some easy questions?
You're both 0-0 because the answer was the Legion of Doom.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Me and who?
It was the Nation. So it was 97. So it was probably...
That was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I bet you.
Yeah, I think so.
That was at Penn State. I bet you that was at Penn State.
That was the debut of Kane. That
sounds about right.
I thought that was St. Louis.
That was the one that DJ. That was the one that Kane debuted at with Shawn and Taker in the first Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. Really, you guys are like, come all on, right. Give me something I can answer. No,
it's still it's 0-1. So, okay, who did you drop the USWA Heavyweight Championship to?
Which time?
Oh, fuck. All right.
The first time, second time, which time?
I'm going to go with, I only know one answer, so. sounds like you have an advantage.
First time I dropped it to Jerry Lawler, second time I dropped it to Owen Hart.
Okay. Yeah, I just was reading about that, too.
Okay, okay, so it's 1-1 now. Yep. It's 1-1 now.
It's a tie
and
game, folks.
Should I give him a bonus point? I feel like I should, because he knew more about this than I did.
Of course, he lived.
All right.
So .5.
You came back in 2005 for a moment to interrupt a marriage proposal between who?
Viscera and Lillian Garcia.
God damn, dude.
I didn't know this was like a speed question.
I didn't. Fuck, man. Yeah.
Well. All right, smart ass. How many hoes did I have with me? How many hoes did I have with me that night?
Was it 3?
4. What color outfit was I wearing that night? And what color hat and fur coat did I have on that night? Had a blue, a red outfit, white fur coat, and a white hat and red shoes.
Damn, dude. All right. That is pimping. Red shoes, man. Red shoes.
There's a cool story behind. I know we're running out of time, but there's such a cool story behind how I did that. You know.
Well, let's hear it. We got time.
Yeah, man.
The version is, what's his name? Michael Hayes. Hayes calls me, right? He's like, hey, baby, what's happening, baby? Yeah, you know, we're coming to your town, and we want to put a little change in your pocket, and we want to do this, and I know you're doing good, but we still want to put a little change in your pocket. He goes, we want you to wrestle this guy named Chris Masters. And he goes, he's doing this thing where he's putting you in a full Nelson, and people are giving up, and we did it to Sergeant Slaughter last week, and we want to come to your town. You guys are going to talk a little shit. He's going to sneak up behind you and put it on you, and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you're going to clown me in my own fucking town? Are you joking? So I tell him, no, I ain't doing that shit. And so anytime that they call you is because Vince wants you. And so when Vince wants you, he wants you on the show. It's up to them to find out something for you to do. I know how this shit works. So anyway, I go back and forth. I'm like, no, I ain't doing this. No, I ain't doing this. So they finally say, well, what will you do? And I said, I will do something where I come out with the hose, it's a good situation, and I leave on a good note, and everybody's happy and this and that. And I said, and I ain't taking no bumps. And that's what they came up with. That's what they came up with. I'm like, that's more my father than you just put me in a full Nelson having me tap out, shit. There's more to it, but I don't want to shit talk to people that are involved in it, so I'll let it go.
No. Well, you obviously know the answer to that, so I feel like it's fair to give 1-1 there.
I'm giving Godfather 2 points on that one. He knew everything.
I mean, I'm the only one who bet on this, so like, I'll take your point, keeping whatever, man. It works for me.
All right. We're at least even.
Yeah. So we'll call this a tiebreaker. If you guys tie, that's great. That's great because I didn't make a bet on that. How many titles have you held in the WWF?
2.
Oh.
Okay, and which ones?
I see.
Intercontinental Tag Team.
Beautiful. Yeah, okay, so even. I feel like you did really well, both of you. That was much better than expected. DDJ, I'm sorry I ever doubted.
Oh, wait a minute. I might have had the 24 that what was it called that Crash Holly had, the hardcore title? I might have had that for a second. I know one of my hoes won it for a second.
Your hoe won it. Your
my hoe, yeah, one of my hoes won it for a second.
Yes.
Yep. That was
what did Terry Runnels?
Huh?
Yeah, a lot.
So did Terry Runnels.
Did she really?
Yeah. I think one
oh, that's
time.
Cool. I don't remember that. I didn't follow the Divas at all.
Wow.
I was too busy dealing with the hoes.
Do you watch any current product these days?
No.
No. Because you were, I mean,
nothing, was, nothing,
not missing money.
Nothing, nothing against the business. I respect the business. I have nothing but passion for the business now. I don't watch TV and I'm not going to watch wrestling. It's just, I watch very, very, very little TV. In the morning, I might catch a little bit of news, which is very rare. And then but I'll try to catch up on some sports and then I'm done, bro. I'm usually music. I'm usually music. I don't watch TV.
I mean, yeah.
So, like I said, nothing against wrestling. I couldn't tell you who the AWA champ is. This, I couldn't even tell you who the WWE champ is. But, you know, but respect to the business.
But, I mean, but at the same time, like you, yeah, obviously enough respect that you still are a legend under contract. You know, and I'm
yeah,
sure
I
that
know.
If they hit
I
you
think
up,
I just know so much shit. I think I just know so much shit. They're afraid I'm a tail.
Oh man, well that's a
okay.
That sounds like fun.
I am throwing the biggest tiebreaker question there could be here.
Okay. All right, here we go.
The ho who won the hardcore title is whose ex-wife?
Oh god,
I don't know.
Dude.
I mean that is insane.
I have no idea.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
I remember she was on. I remember she had a nice ass. When they rolled her up.
Say.
Hey, you put your wife out there as a hoe. That's up to you, bro.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I gotta be careful on nothing.
I've got the tiebreaker here, the real tiebreaker.
Hold on. I'm going to give you the answer.
Well, I want to hear the answer.
I'm going to throw out a name. I'm going to throw out Bob Holly, although I know that's wrong.
No. Al Snow's ex-wife.
Wow.
Cynthia Lynch.
All right.
Yeah, I never knew that. I like Al too. Now you know
they
why it's his ex. She's out there being a hoe.
They were only married.
That's
right.
I didn't know that.
16.
Well, we'll have to ask Al Snow about that if we.
That's still that's a long time. That's what 7 years. That's still a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. Okay. So this is the official tiebreaker. What does comma stand for?
Kick any man's ass.
All right. All right. Well, there it is. There
but,
it is.
The everybody's looking at me like, no, that's not it. That's it. Kick
no,
any
it
man's
that.
Ass.
Kick any man's ass. I learned that recently, and I thought that was fucking incredible because I didn't know that. I just thought, because I knew it was based off of like an MMA fighter, and I thought it was just like something similar to
it. It was based off of chemo.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince says, comma. And he goes, comma, comma. I like that, comma. He goes, kick any man's ass. I like that, kick any man's ass. And it was like, that's how it came up. But
awesome.
They had the name comma before he put kick any man's. And it never really came out either because comma wasn't around that long because I was not having fun. Mm-hmm. When I wasn't having fun, I would go to Vince. I was not having fun as comma. So comma wasn't around long.
The story of your career, though, is, you know, and I think that was one of the things that made all the stuff you did special, you know, was that you could tell you were having fun, especially.
I was having fun, but I was trying hard. I wasn't just going out there fucking, messing around. I put everything into even the good father. I hated the good father, but I still tried my hardest and I tried to get each one of them over.
And you took it like, you know, like you were doing a job because you didn't go into it as a fan. So you didn't,
it was a job
mindset of being like,
only time it wasn't a job is when I was Godfather. And then that's when it wasn't a job. It was just me. And that's why I really hated the good father because that was the downfall of the Godfather. And it's just, man, I was just having so much. to be paid well and to be over being yourself. And just being yourself. You're not acting, you're not pretending. All you're doing is being yourself, man. It's just a cool way to go.
And you got the opportunity to have the hoes get on TV by giving you free weed. So
that ain't that pimping?
No, that's pimping.
This is no bullshit. This is no bullshit. And believe me, I've been with thousands of girls. I've been married 21 years to the same woman, never cheated on her once. That's that whole Godfather time.
No, and the one thing I think, you know, like you were the first interview we had about a little almost a year ago now.
8 months. And, it was January.
Yeah, and your wife, you were in a hotel and you couldn't smoke in there, and your wife was in the background talking shit about you. She made you like the biggest Jack and fucking Coke.
Well, she's like, here, take this, motherfucker, and shut up.
No, she's like, here, have this. And you like took one sip, you're like, God damn, what the fuck? Did you, like, holy shit, you're trying to kill me. But like, you can tell, like, just that interaction between you two.
Bro,
like,
she's how, the how, best
how
thing.
How genuine it was, and how, like, you know, and it's like, damn, you know, like, considering the character. You know, that's a really beautiful thing to see.
She is the best thing that ever happened to me, enough to make me stop whoring around. She's very creative. She doesn't even smoke, you know, but just she's the best part of me and made me a better person, believe me. And she is, and people don't believe that, if you believe it or not, she created, all I did was the silly, everything that the Godfather is, I fought her on. I fought her on the colors, the costume. I wanted to wear black. I wanted to be mean. I didn't want to do none of this shit.
You didn't want to wear purple and yellow?
No, I wanted to be a mean pimp. And then when I went to Vince with what I wanted to do, I gave him my wife's idea, and I gave him my idea, and he says, Charles, I think we're going to go with your wife's idea. He's like, I just can't have a big black guy with tattoos slapping white women around, calling them hoes, and talking about something weak. That's a little much, Charles.
And I got to say, your wife's idea is what inspired, I think, 3 years of Halloween costumes for me.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I was the Godfather wearing a Jason mask 1 year.
I love it. I love it. Wow. Pimping the dead.
Absolutely,
that is awesome. We're so excited to have you back.
So who won? Did I win or
you
who won?
You won.
Yeah, with the comma, which is good because comma. I don't have to spend any money.
Wow.
On shipping out but I will say,
DJ, does that mean we got to do another shot?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll always do another
God
shot.
I think I'm about out. Well, I got a little bit.
Let's pour the drinks. While we're pouring drinks, DDJ, you've got a new show that you're starting?
Oh, well, yes. I might as well, while you guys are doing your thing. Not exactly sure the date dropping, but sometime next month I will be starting up another podcast called Shooting Shit. It's going to be me reuniting with my old buddy, Jovan Minacho, and then a guy by the name of Joe Kuhn, a.k.a. the Premier Joey K.
Hell yeah.
We'll be sitting around, we'll be talking about, we'll be shooting on different topics in the world of wrestling, you know, greatest pay-per-view of all time, you know, best, our favorite hoe, you know, that kind of
our
stuff.
Favorite hoes. Hell yeah, I'll drink to that. Hell yeah, right on the Genres Podcasting Network, yes, too.
Definitely.
Damn, now you guys got me half-ass drunk.
Well, at least we didn't get you full ass drunk. We'll save that for Stone Cold.
Well, you can. True. Well, you can blame it on us. Tell your wife that it was my fault. It won't be the first time that somebody has been blamed for getting drunk on me. So,
but yeah. I do want to say, just so we can classify ourselves as an educational podcast, the most important lesson you can take from tonight is to truly have fun working, and you got to make sure you enjoy what you do.
Absolutely.
Always have fun. It makes it a lot more enjoyable. It makes it a lot more fun, believable. But you got to enjoy. If you don't enjoy what you do, bro, you're in trouble. And I feel sorry for anybody no matter how much money you make, if you're doing something you don't enjoy.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I love my job and I love doing this. And we can't thank you enough. You really have been, like I said, you were the first guest we have. You have been so gracious with us and so kind. And it really has opened the door for us to really believe that we can do this shit. And so thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure being on with you guys, man.
And next
time, and if you people aren't following me, yes.
Yeah, let's drop all your socials, anything you want to plug.
Wait, next time you're in California, what?
Oh, next time in California, I'm fucking buying as much fucking of your weed as I can. And do you have a concentrate? Do you have dabs of your stuff?
Not yet. This time okay. They only sell it in eighths. These bags here are eighths. They only sell eighths. That's all they're allowed to sell. You can buy as many as you want, but you can only buy eights. Yeah. And they're going to have the smalls, which are the small little joints that they call. Some people call them dog walkers, smalls. But they're going to have smalls in two. I hear next run, we're going to have some concentrates. But we're going to keep the Insane Godfather will be in the mix. And a little birdie told me that they have some type of voodoo strain coming out, too.
Oh, shit, man. So you get to relive your time in New Orleans.
Did we freeze up?
No. Are you?
Where everybody? Everybody fills up on me.
Oh shit! Can you hear me?
Oh, we're still are here.
We here?
We're here. I see you guys.
He froze up. Are you?
Hello.
Hello.
It must be
hello.
Those storms what in happened? Nevada.
Uh oh. We back.
Uh oh. Are you? Can you hear us? Hello. Well, we're live and live.
I can hear you, but I can't see you. You guys aren't moving. Guys, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah. You're moving too for us. So. I lost
you guys for a minute. You froze up on me.
Okay. We're back. As Vince McMahon would say, anything can happen when you're live, pal. Oh, well, we lost the game. Well, this has been such good shoot. I'm Isaac.
I'm Dozer.
That's Dozer. That's DDJ. And that spinning circle was...
That was the Godfather.
Oh, he's coming back on.
Oh, he's coming back.
So, maybe. Device not connected. Anyway... We had a great time tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Please follow all of us on our socials at Shoot Such or Shit Such or whatever. Just go to
it's a weird Twitter.
Suchgoodshoot.com.
No, Such Shoot is or Shoot Such, I think, is our Twitter handle.
Whatever. Just go to the website. There's links to all
www.suchgoodshoot.com.
Oh, he's back.
There you say he's back.
What the hell happened, man? I can hear you guys talking, but I've been offline here. You start talking about see what happens when you start talking about voodoo.
Exactly.
Strikes again.
All I was saying is that once that comes out, it takes you back to the days when you were in New Orleans studying, like literally studying for Papa Shango.
They sent me to New Orleans and they hooked me up with like two or three people. And they were, I mean, I'm not a voodoo person, but I went to people that really knew what they were talking about and knowledgeable. And all the symbols, all the signs, all the terminology I was using was real. And the spells that I was saying were real spells. And so, I mean, like I said, you took a black country music listening biker and made him a voodoo man. So it was a stretch for me. I mean, and I was a hardcore, like I said, biker, black biker, Harley riding, tattooed, crazy fucker. So I did the best I could. If I had it to do over again, I'd probably do it. I wish I wasn't so green. I wish I was been in the business longer to be able to work that character.
I mean, considering that your first match was going over with Jerry Lawler, it's like on a Monday night in Memphis, like... You've had
never having had a match in my life. You've had in my life.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. That's incredible, man. No, you. There's a reason.
Dude, my whole life has been like that. I mean, I wanted to play football in high school. My mom and dad wouldn't let me, and so the first time I played tackle football is I had a full ride scholarship to University of Nevada, Reno, and I'd never played football in my life. And I had a full ride scholarship to play football, and I never had played football in my life. Not tackle.
Based on your basketball career.
I was just a really good athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and I was tough. I was tough. And at that point, I'd start putting on weight, and I'd gotten strong, and I was tough. I was like, I had that mental toughness that I didn't mind hitting, and I didn't mind hitting you, and I didn't mind being hit.
Did mom and dad ever call you out when you did get hurt? Because that was the
yes, they did. My mom said, "I told you. Now look at you." And so,
well, now you know, like in the end, you've been very successful, and you've had a hell of a life, and you're in great shape, and you've had a hell of a life ahead of you, man. So I think you've probably done your parents really proud.
I like to hear that. They're still both with us. And I'm going to go see them next week in California.
And I'm sure they're fucking super, super proud of you.
We have five kids, but I'm by far the favorite.
Thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Shango.
Yes.
Papa, Mama and Papa.
The original Papa.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for hopping back on, and you know, much love, much appreciation, and we hope to get to talk to you again, man.
Hey, that hour went by so quick; it's not even funny. I had nothing but fun, man. Awesome. I appreciate you guys, man. At any time, I'd love to jump back on some other time.
Awesome. Well, I'll be in touch in another 8 months.
Absolutely.
So. Everybody, stay healthy.
Thank you.
And
you
stay
too,
safe, man.
You too. Absolutely.
Stay positive. You too. All right, people. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Good Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot, and have a great day.
What the fuck?